It is time to take a look at what's been happening in this market trade today. Of course, a lot of preparation ahead of the WASDE report that comes out on Friday. Good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield on the American Ag Network, and we are at Husker Harvest Days, and sitting right next to me happens to be the one and only Mark Gold. He is with Top 30 Division of StoneX, and it's been a busy couple of days for you as you've been out here at Husker Harvest Days. Any WASDE concerns coming as you've talked to folks?
Well, certainly there's always WASDE concerns when they come up. This month, what are they going to do with the corn yield? They've got to come down from the 188.9. Is it the Pro Farmer Tour 182 and change? I don't think so. I think it's somewhere in the middle, 185, 186. At this point, I'm not sure it really matters whether it's 184.5 or 186.5. We're still looking at big crops, big carryouts, and not a whole lot of storage out here to handle it all. So that really concerns me on the corn side of things. On the bean side, right now we're looking at a 290 carryout. Everybody's talking that they're going to cut the exports because we don't have any Chinese business. I'm not sure they're going to cut it as much. They've already cut it a lot because of that. And we're starting to see other countries really pick up the slack out here. Mexico, South Korea, Taiwan, half a dozen other places, plus even in Europe, we're starting to see some business. So I don't think it's as bad as people think it is. And with a 290 carryout, if this comes in anywhere close to a bushel under what the government had last month, then you got a little bit of a bean market. You're not going to 50 million off a 240 carryout, a 290 carryout. You got 240 for a carryout. That's something worth talking. So, my advice to the American farmer has been, if you're selling beans for whatever reason, look to buy back a call option to keep the upside open. On corn, if you've got the storage on farm, look at capturing some carry out there. The prices out to May are about 30-cent carry. It's not great, but it's better than getting hammered with the terrible basis that you've got out here right now. You wait, you can sell May or July corn, deliver it then, and hopefully the basis will improve dramatically by then. So I think there's some things you can do. The one thing I wouldn't do is store that grain in the elevators. Don't take it to the city. Don't take it to the elevator. Don't store it someplace where you're paying storage on it out of your pocket. The fees have gone through the roof out here. The elevators really don't want it right now. So, don't do that. For the money you would spend in fees over just 2 months of storage or 3 months of storage, you could have sold that grain and bought a call option. Now, yes, you're going to get hammered on basis, but there's not much you're going to do about it right now. We've got a big crop. Farmers haven't sold a whole lot of last year's crop. You've got to do something. You have to be proactive.
Does it come to a surprise, or maybe it shouldn't come to a surprise? When you look at the negative basis we're seeing on sorghum, the basis we're seeing on soybeans at this point. We know North Dakota has got elevator concerns where, guys are saying we don't have a place to take the crop at this point.
Yeah, that concerns me a lot. It's not only in North Dakota, South Dakota, because the PNW, they're not doing any business out of there in terms of beans going to China. But let's not forget that we still see the unknown faction that comes in on these reports, and unknown is still buying beans out here, and that's generally China. So if they stop buying beans altogether, I don't think so. I think they're doing a little bit of business, but the fact of the matter is they need a lot more. Even if we've got Mexico and Taiwan and South Korea and all these other countries, and they're taking 100, 200, 300,000 metric tons, yes, it's nice business. But it's not 1 million, 2 million, 3 million metric tons that we really need to see. And if we could just get the Chinese to take a million or 2 million metric tons, it'd be a whole different ballgame out here.
Come on, you know people.
Yeah, I know people. I do know some people, but I don't know anybody that wants to go over to China and deal with them right now. They don't seem to be in the mood to deal with us.
Right.
The president is putting pressure on them because they're taking so much oil from Russia. I agree with the president that something has to be done. We have to trust that he knows what he's doing and that we're going to get this business back. And hopefully that'll be the case.
What about India as an option for us?
Unfortunately, we saw India cozy up to China just in the last week, along with North Korea and Russia, I don't think that's a good sign. And, you know, we want to put tariffs on India. Okay, I understand why the president wants to do that. But when we're looking to expand agriculture in this country, and make no mistake about it, the people that elected President Trump was the American farmer. All these red states, farmer, they put him in the White House the first time, they put him in the second time, but now the president has to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard the president talk about quadrupling soybean exports to China, and we've got zero. We've heard about ethanol, zero. We've heard about a farm bill, zero. We've heard about aviation fuel, soybeans, zero. So we've got to see the president make good on some of these commitments out here, and I hope he does, because the American farmer, and particularly the young American farmers, in the next 6 months are going to need some help.
Let's switch gears and take a look at this cattle market, Mark. And I think nobody saw yesterday's limit down trade happen like it did. I mean, I think caught a few off guard. It didn't last long, though.
Now, you know, the prices are back up here again today. Apparently, President Trump made some statement about wanting cheap food out there again. And that's what crushed the cattle market. But let's face it, the cattle market's been due for a crunching. And, you know, if one limit down day, you know, if you think you've lost the top of the market, well, look at the top of the market. You're $100 over where you ever dreamed it would be. Now, is this the top? We've had a lot of false signals in the last 3 or 4 months. Key reversals. We had 5 key reversals in this market that didn't mean a darn thing. Even when the box beef broke from 397 down to 267 or wherever it was,
mm-hmm.
367, cattle didn't budge. The cash market has stayed strong throughout all of this, which is why the cattle keep coming back. If we have another hard down day in the next day or two, we're under the 20-day moving average in the feeder cattle. We're under the trend line. I don't think these are things you can avoid. I would certainly recommend buying some put options up here. I would certainly recommend, you know, LRP, do something. But just don't hope this thing can stay this strong, because, you know, we've seen this thing break 30 or 40 bucks, and it could certainly do it again in a heartbeat. And that's gravy you don't want to miss out on if you're raising cattle out here. So do something. Be proactive.
And, you know, I mean, the hogs kind of follow along with what's, but they didn't get influenced as much yesterday as some thought they might.
Yeah. You know, the hog market's been relatively strong. I think what we've seen is just in the last couple of days, the box beef went from 417 down to 410. You know, it's broken a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hog prices have stayed high. But I contend that since Labor Day, we're starting to see demand back off. And I think that's one of the keys for the cattlemen, is when the American housewife says, hamburgers are $10, $12 a pound, I'm out. When steaks are $25 a pound, I'm out. Then we're going to see this thing back off. But that's going to be up to the American housewife. Up till now, she hasn't backed away.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Mark, for swinging by and joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course, Mark Gold joins us. He is with Taunt 3rd Division of StoneX. And a quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That is the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.